Well, thank you, Thomas. Well, the worst part about Christmas being over is we have to stop singing Christmas songs. So I love the Christmas songs. So I don't know. Oh, come all you faithful. That's like a year-round song, right? You can sing that anytime. But today's message, we're still kind of taking a sidetrack from our Good News series. And this is the typical time of year. And it's kind of funny, as I look on Facebook, I see that a lot of churches, today is National Youth Pastor or Associate Pastor Preaches Day, because most of the senior pastors, they're tired of preaching through the Christmas season, and they give them this the opportunity, but I guess it's the same true here, because I teach the youth group here too, so hey, whatever, it's all good. But it's also typically one of those times, either this Sunday or next Sunday, where we get into what's this year going to be like. We're leaving one year, we're moving into the next year. In the secular world, we call that, we make resolutions. Well, I don't like resolutions. I've said this before. Resolutions are the things you break by the middle of January. Like, I resolve not to eat any more food. Not any more food. That would be bad. I would die. Not to eat bad food. Eat healthier. That's what I meant to say. Well, we're not going to do things like that as a church, but what I want us to do is to look at as how we go forward, coming out of this past year, going into a new year. What does this mean? What does this look like for us? And where we go, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 16, and we're going to do some few other verses. Again, I'm taking a little different approach to the messages like I did last week. You're going to get a lot more Bible passage than just the normal one I usually just say, but just to kind of get us there. But I also want to put this caveat in here, is that I'm one of those that I believe the Bible has a context. And a lot of people like to take Scripture out of context and make it apply to something that's not what it's intended for. So I'll be crystal clear. Most of these passages, the reality of what Jesus is saying or what the Scripture is telling us in these passages, it is talking about our spiritual self and our following of God and following of Christ. It's not necessarily talking about, if we're going to have a church picnic, okay? But I believe that the truth of what the Scripture teaches as we talk about how we follow God personally and spiritually, we can also apply to how we act as a church and go forward into this next year. And so it's the truth of what the Scripture is telling us that we're looking at as application today. But Proverbs chapter 16, starting in verse 1, it says this: "The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of the man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yet even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And the Holman Christian Standard, verse 3 in this passage says it this way: "Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be achieved." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you open our hearts and our minds. Have us to receive what it is we need to receive. Have us to apply it where we need to, Lord, both as a church and individually. Speak through me today, Holy Spirit, and it's your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now, we're coming out of a year when the plans we had personally and as a church were either sidelined or completely destroyed. I know going into 2020, and I've said this before, the churches, they loved it. Because when you go to an eye doctor, which I don't have, all right, you go to the eye doctor, when you have perfect vision, it's considered what kind? 20 vision. So everybody was doing that kitschy theme of, we have 2020 vision. It's going to be perfect vision for the year 2020. And not a single person saw coming what was coming. All right? I don't know of anybody that goes, all right, so here, church, here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend January, February, and part of March getting ready to be locked down for the rest of the year. That wasn't on our schedule. We sat here for hours last year putting things on the schedule all the way through October, November. We had plans that we wanted to get accomplished as a church. We had things we wanted to do to reach out in the community, but then all of a sudden March shows up. And God says, I have other plans. And churches all around the world, but especially around America, were immediately going, what are we going to do? Everything that we knew and we held on a regular basis, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesdays, visitations, youth groups, children's ministries, every bit of it got put on a shelf and said, you're going to have to wait. And my big thing is every time we go through stuff, and this is something I've learned as years go by, that we go through trials, we go through good things. Every time we have an experience, I believe we can learn something from that experience, don't you? Now, unfortunately, as humans, most of the time, we learn better from the negative stuff. I don't know why, but if something bad happened to us, we're going to learn not to do that. In other words, when I was a kid, I learned that a screwdriver does not go into the actual electric socket. Y'all laugh, but, all right, how do I know that? I stuck a screwdriver in the electrical socket. All right, I don't know what I was doing or why I was doing it, but I was doing it, and there I was. And my parents' house was such that the breaker did not immediately pop. It was an exciting moment. But I learned I don't even like to play with light switches anymore. I barely turn those on. carefully. I've learned a lesson, a valuable one. Don't stick metal things in the electrical outlet. Now, sure, I'm sure my dad had told me that before, but did it stick? No, I needed that object lesson. All right, and like I say, so unfortunately, that's how we often learn. Now, we can learn from good times as well, too. We can learn from those moments where we do something and everything comes out great and it was perfect. We go, yes, we learned something here. We can do it this way. But this past year has sidelined everything. I know we've had a trip plan that we were excited about, spent money on, and then had them go, no, we're not doing that. Personal things. People have been, you know, sadly, there's family members that have been in hospital or nursing homes that people haven't been able to visit and see because of months and months of COVID. We've dealt with it with my father-in-law. We've been doing Zoom calls for months, and we're just now finally be able to get kind of more in person. And sadly, 2020 looks like it's going to kind of roll on into 2021. There is hope. We see things going, and thank God, and I'm going to say this from the outset, we have been blessed at Hague Baptist Church. I know people have had some sickness, there's been some things going on, but I don't want to put it out. No one that I know of within the body right here has had COVID and dealt with it personally. We haven't lost anybody in our fellowship due to COVID, and we can't say that about all the churches in the area. We know of churches that, and they may not have lost members from it, but they have lost time and had members set aside where 6, 7, 8 of them have had. And so far, praise God, we have not had that issue here. But a year like 2020, as we look back at it, it almost makes us want to go, why even bother planning for 2021? Because we know there's vaccine out there. We know that people are getting it. But we also know it's going to be months before it's available for everyone to get, if we're even going to take it. I'll leave that up to you and your doctor and God. I'm not going to tell you one way or another on that. But we don't know what this year is going to hold, do we? We have no idea what we're going to go into 2021 dealing with. As a matter of fact, that's our first point today. We have no idea what tomorrow has in store for us. Who knows what they're... Now, we have a calendar, right? You've probably got something planned. You may have an appointment. You have an idea that I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to do breakfast. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go here. You have an idea, don't you? But do you really know what tomorrow holds for you? Proverbs 27, verse 1 says it this way, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. That's hard, isn't it? Because we like to say, I know what I'm going to do. Tomorrow I'm getting up and I'm doing this. Is that boasting about tomorrow? You'll hear us go, Lord willing, I'm going to... But we honestly don't know. We don't know if when the alarm goes off, if our eyes will open. We don't know, and that sounds horrible and it sounds bad, but the reality is here's a good one. We don't know if by this afternoon at 5 o'clock if Jesus will return. And all of us will be gone home. Amen? If you can't say amen to that, see me after the service. We'll talk. But we just honestly don't know. We can't be saying, all right, this is what we're going to do. I know for the next 6 months, here's exactly what we're going to do. But does that mean we don't plan for it? Does that mean we just get up every morning and go, whew, well, I got another one. Now let me figure out what I'm going to do today. That's not how life works either, is it? Matter of fact, the second point I've got for us this morning is that even though we don't know the future, we must plan for it. Luke chapter 14 says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the costs, whether he has enough to finish it, lest he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish? All who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Now again, Jesus is talking about coming and following him, sitting down and counting the cost. What's this going to mean to me if I follow Jesus? Can I make it to the end? Will I be able to do this? Will I be able to bear what it costs? But the same holds true in our lives. We sit down, we make a plan, we look at it. What's this going to take? What's this going to do? And cost doesn't always equal money. There's other things that we have. We work in time, don't we? Some things we do, especially as a church, it takes time out of our schedule to do it, doesn't it? The grass doesn't just automatically cut itself and lay down out there, does it? The building doesn't get clean by itself. We have a fellowship. Cookies don't get, well, you can swing by Publix. But anyway, you know, cookies don't get made by themselves. Somebody did it. You had to take time out to at least stop by and get them if you didn't make them yourself. There's always something that cost us personally in the life of the church. Now, we don't know what the future holds. But we're going to sit down and we're going to plan just like we have one. And you can take all kind of scripture. Jesus talks about being prepared for the coming. You don't just sit back and go, well, Jesus is going to come one day. I'm going to sit here and wait on him. Come and get me, Lord. What's Jesus tell us to do the whole time we're waiting? Keep working. We got to keep doing. We got to keep on keeping on. And so we're going to plan this next year just like there's no COVID, just like there's no lockdowns. Maybe bearing in mind tweaking some things to interact with how we're supposed to be the new normal. I hate that word. Our phrase. But we're going to make plans. If not, we're going to get here and we're going to be a month from now. And we're going to, what are we going to do? I don't know. What do we do? Number three. Not knowing the future needs to motivate us to act now. Let me say that with my tongue working. Not knowing the future needs to motivate us to act now. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, and we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say what? If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Can you put the passage up? Next one. Keep going. Okay. Apparently I didn't put that one in there. Whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow. As the scripture says, for what is your life if even a vapor In other words, we're not here a long time. We need to act now. We need to plan for future, but we need to be busy in the here and the now. One of my TV show we just actually finished watching not too long ago, a whole series, it's called The West Wing, and it kind of fits with the season we've just gone through with elections and stuff like that. But there was an episode as the hopeful new president was, as they're going through the election cycle, was actually asking his running mate, how much time do I have to get stuff done? How much time do I have to get legislation moving and working? And he says, realistically, he says about 100 to 180 days at most. And you've heard in the election cycle, in my first 100 days, I'm going to do this, right? You've probably heard it if you watched any one of the speeches. And in the West Wing, I don't know how true it is, but this is the explanation they give. The reason you had this short a time is because after that little bit of time, you're now having to begin to start campaigning for the midterm elections to help your party win their midterms, the senators and the congressmen get reelected or get elected. Then by the time you've passed through that, now you're into your own reelection if you're going to run again for president. So they have about a first 3 to 4 months, maybe 5 months worth of time to actually get anything done. The rest is spent campaigning and doing stuff, typically. That's not a lot of time out of 4 years, is it? So there's a sense of urgency when you get there. Now, as I said, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know how much time we have. We need to have a sense of urgency in what we're doing. As I read articles, and it's kind of fun, the experts are all putting out stuff now. What does 2021 hold? And, you know, signs that are going for 2021. And we'll talk about some of these here in a little bit, or in the next week or so. But one of the things that this author used to say is to make changes in the church incrementally. In other words, you can't go into the church and just try to do everything all at once. We used to use the analogy of turning a large boat. You turn it slowly. I learned this as a child, learning how to drive my dad's bass boat. The creek we were in, you had Julian Creek came out one side, and there's a middle piece of strip of land in the middle of it. On the other side is Cunningham Creek. And we used to come out and go around. They've gotten involved now. You can't speed through there, so you can't do this anymore. But Dad was like, let's go this way, let's go this way. Well, and he told me a little bit too late. And I had the boat as wide open as I could. And when I turned it to a hard left, you know what that boat was doing? Up on its side. To the point where we almost had water coming over the side of the boat. Now we're in church, so I cannot say what my dad said. But needless to say, it was slow down, stop. And I think he was throwing hats at me and other things. Because it made him a little nervous. And that's what happens oftentimes if you turn too quickly. You can tump the boat over. We went caroling not too long ago with a trailer behind the truck. Thomas spent part of the time standing up helping trying to lead. If I had punched it and took off around one of the corners, what would have happened to Thomas? Everybody would have laughed at him. No, because Thomas would have fell over. You turn too quickly, sometimes that happens. Youth don't know this, but back in the old days when you didn't have to buckle up right in the car and you had that bench seat in the back, man, when Dad took the corner just right, you could slide all the way across that back seat, couldn't you? And if you had somebody back with you, you're like, my corner, bam, slamming into him. It was fun. Do it again, Daddy. But now one of the trends, one of the worries is the fact of we can't do things in incremental. We have to act now. We don't have time to wait for everyone to catch up. There's going to be some negative effect of that, obviously. Because sometimes when you begin to turn and when you begin to change too much, you don't want to leave people behind. But there's going to be adjustments that we're going to have to make personally to move forward into the new year. And the fourth thing, the why of our plans is critical to determining the what. Why do we do what we do? What is the purpose behind this? If you look at the original passage that we talked about, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer is from the Lord. So we begin to prepare ourselves. We have our own thoughts, but God then says, here's what we do. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes. All right, so my plans look good to me. But then I need a second opinion, don't I? And don't take this the wrong way, but it's not your opinion I'm looking for. It's God's opinion that matters, because he begins to weigh the spirit, the heart of all of us. What are we doing this for? Why are we there? The verse 9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. See, we got to look at this as putting it, it has got to be why God wants us to do this. Why are we doing this? Because God has asked us to. Because this is the way God wants us to go. So I'm going to ask, be honest with you, over the next, what do we got, 2 weeks before we really counter, but a week and a half before we begin to meet on Wednesday night and discuss some of these things, please be praying about what do we as a church need to do. God, where do you want us to go? Where are you leading us? How can we connect with the community around us? How can we connect with the people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? But also pray, and this is all of us, the same prayer Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. Because oftentimes what we do when we pray, God, how can we reach people doing it my way? Nobody said amen there. But it's true. And it's not a bad thing. We like what we like, don't we? We have our styles, we have our patterns, we enjoy certain things. We're comfortable there. Been watching The Chosen, and again, spoiler alerts, if you want to watch this later and you're not, plug your ears. But you've seen it, it's in the Bible, you should know what happens. Peter, fisherman, he was comfortable fishing. He may not have been all that great at it based on, kind of how the movie was. But Jesus called him to quit fishing for fish and to come fish for what? People. He constantly keeps going, I don't know what that means. Where do you think he was more comfortable? In a boat? Out on the water? With a net? Are we Jesus ministering to sick people and demon-possessed? I can't say 100% sure, but if I were him, I'd be more comfortable out on the water if I was a fisherman. We all have that, but why are we doing it? Because God has said, come on, let's go. Now again, we'll delve into these a little bit more, but I want to show us three reasons this morning why we do what we do. And reason number one is because it ministers to God. And I know that sounds funny to say we minister to God, but that's what worship is. It's our ministry to God. It's our reaching to God. It's our praising Him and worshiping Him and give Him the honor and the glory. Now again, worship is not just the singing. This is worship. This is the preaching event is there. The Bible study is part of worship. Singing is part of worship. Reading the Bible is part of worship. But it's our direct vertical access to God. That's our worship. The second reason is because it ministers to the church. This is where we get edification, education, and fellowship. We do things to edify one another, to build each other up, to build camaraderie, we're family, to educate one another. Didn't Jesus tell us that in the great teaching them to? We're supposed to be learning. We learn it from one another. Scripture says iron sharpens iron, right? You can't use a feather to sharpen a knife, can you? So we educate one another. And you know what? Fellowship is part of what God wants us to do. God has fellowship with Himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's a reason God has not created us to be alone. He's created us to be with other people, to fellowship, to socialize. We were never designed for solitude. And so, yes, it's okay to fellowship. And yes, it's okay for us as Baptists to socialize and fellowship with food. It's what we do. I mean, look at a lot of the encounters Jesus had. What are some of the stories? He was reclining at the table. He went to somebody's house. Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for dinner. Jesus was the first Baptist. And the third thing is that, you know what? It ministers to the world. It's evangelism, meeting of needs, what we would call ministry. So these three things are going to shape what we plan, what we do, because I think they're at the heart of what God wants us to do. He wants us to minister to Him, to worship Him. We need to be fellowshipping together to build one another up, to encourage and equip. But we also need to be reaching out. And it can't be all of one and none of the other. It has to be balanced for it to work. For us to have a truly healthy relationship, they all three have to come together. Like I say, not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday, we'll talk a little bit more about these. But as we begin to think of things that we're doing, and I think there's some help too, sitting down and looking at what we have done based on what we want to do going into the future. What can we do differently? What do we need to leave the same? Do they fit these three things? And if it doesn't, then we got to ask ourselves, do we really need it? I think one of the benefits that's going to be painful for a lot of churches, but one of the things that a lot of churches are going to find out is that they've been doing a lot of stuff that just is not necessary to reach people with the gospel. Because they haven't been doing them the past 9 months. And people are still getting saved. Did y'all know that? COVID has not stopped churches from seeing people come to Jesus. It's still happening. We've had a baptism here. Number four, and the final thought for the day. If our hearts are aligned with God, then He will guide and bless our plans. If our hearts are aligned with God, then He will guide us and He will bless our plans. Man, how do I know He'll bless them? Because if our hearts are aligned with His, then they're His plans, not our plans. We begin to seek to do what God wants us to do. I think there's some things we're going to find out that God has this big picture. Here's, do this. Evangelize, for example. Share the gospel. He's given us that. He's given us some things that are part of that. But did He give us a class on how to go evangelize? Not directly. We've got the Gospels. We can see how He did it and what He did. And I think we can learn some things. But there's no turn to Appendix A in the back and read how to give the Gospel presentation, is there? Unless you got a Lifeway Bible. They might have it because of faith. But, or Evangelism Explosion Bible. But see, those were all put together by men later down the road. So I think God is putting us on the path. And sometimes the details of how we get there, we get to be a little bit more creative with, don't we? But we got to make sure it lines up with what God wants us to do. That's got to be at the core of it. And the only way to do that is to make sure our hearts are aligned with God. So make that part of your prayer life as well. God, is my heart lined up with You? Does my heart beat for the same things that Yours does, God? Does my heart beat for the same people that Yours does? Do I have that same mission that you want me to be on? And that's the great thing about God and the way He's built His body, is we're all different. We all have different aspects that we bring to it. We all have different skills and talents. And every one of them is important. We may not have every piece we need right now to do some of the stuff God wants us to do. But you know what? If God wants us to do it, guess what's going to happen? He's going to start bringing those pieces, isn't He? Now, that doesn't mean He's just going to pick somebody up and magically drop them here. He may want us to go get them and help bring those pieces here. We have to be open to that. So I'm going to ask you, church, as we say goodbye to 2020 and say hello to 2021, are you willing to let go of whatever? Are we willing to sit back and align our hearts with God in that mission and say, you know what? If we need to move now, we need to move. If we need to do this, let's do it. And I've told you when we first came here, I wouldn't change a thing. There might be a bunch of stuff that I would rather do just because I like things different ways, but I'm not going to change it. Why? Because if I mess it up, if I do it, then it will be messed up. But if God comes in and God says, this is what we're going to do, and we all go, all right, then God's going to be with us. He's going to guide us. He's going to bless us as we go on that journey. So that doesn't mean things aren't going to change. Just understand that as we change, it's because we all have come to agreement that God is asking us to change this. He may be asking through me. He may be asking through you. Are you? Are anyone in this room? We have to be open to hear it, accept it, and then let God lead us from that point forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, God. God, I pray that you just speak to us as we come out of this year, God. Help us to look to the future. Help us to take those lessons that we have learned in the past, but use them to spring us forward. God, we thank you for all that you've done here at Hague and all that you continue to do. And God, give us an excitement about what you're going to do as we move forward. Give us your heart, Heavenly Father. Give us those eyes to see this world as you see them. Give us the desire, the passion, the drive to reach out, to love. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your shed blood. And God, we thank you for that empty tomb. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.